It feels like we live in a time where we're constantly hearing about this battle going on between science and God.
In this corner, Waynet at an infinite weight, God. And in this corner, a newcomer to the ring, only being around for a few centuries, is Science Round 1.
Welcome to the Jacob's Well Podcast. I'm Chris Tripolino.
I'm Greg Meyer.
And I'm Melissa Locke. You know, I really think this isn't really between science and God. I think it's between science and religion. And you can see how it got set up, right? Religion got constructed at a time when we didn't understand much, and all the unknown stuff was left for God. And then science is left in this predicament of dethroning God as it discovers things, and gradually the place for God shrinks and shrinks.
Right, and it doesn't feel honest to our experience and our perspective that God and science are these adversaries.
Right. I don't think they are at all. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous because science isn't even a thing. I mean, you can't point to anything and say that's science. Science is merely a way of looking at a world. We observe the world around us in a way that is scientific, which means we can draw conclusions that can be replicated again. I mean, why would God have trouble with us learning about our world?
Right.
Yeah, we've addressed this actually with a series a while back, a conversation called Supernatural. We talked about the gap theology that we all fall into, it seems, so easily. So check out that podcast. I think it was, February 22nd of 2015. Still good stuff.
Right, so we have this problem that both science and religion actually have a tendency to believe in this gap theology, this idea that science is responsible for what we know, and God is responsible for the unknown. And as science grows, it pushes God out of the way. So we get this obvious situation where religious people are threatened by science because it's taking away their God. And scientific people think that, God is ridiculous because God's simply a placeholder for what they haven't discovered yet. But it's a ridiculous notion to think about this. I mean, God, if God is God, then God would be God of everything, right? Whether it's known or unknown. So having that as a basis for our argument is just a wrong place to start.
But a lot of people see this conflict between the Bible and science, feeling like they can't both be true.
The problem there isn't that one is right and one is wrong, or one has truth and the other one doesn't. It's our expectations that we bring to each of them. The problem is that we expect both of them to give us answers. Yeah. If you're a religious person, then you want God, the Bible, to give us answers. If you're a scientist, then you want science to give us the answers. And neither of them actually do that. They both give us insights. They both teach us things, but they don't give us answers. I mean, science can tell you that 2 plus 2 is 4, but it doesn't. That information all by itself doesn't help you a whole lot in life. I mean, you've got to know, what am I going to do with that bit of information? I mean, just like knowing how to create a budget doesn't make me a responsible money manager, or knowing how to make TNT and understanding all the subtleties behind the chemical reaction and everything doesn't tell me what the right use of this powerful explosive is.
Yeah, and the same way with the Bible, you can know the fact that it says the first shall be last and the last shall be first, but that doesn't tell you how to actually live that out day to day. What does that mean for you and for your life?
Greg, you've said before that the Bible was never meant to be historically or scientifically accurate. And in fact, for us to sort of expect that of the Bible is unrealistic, but it's egocentric too. Say more about that.
Well, I mean, we just have to be honest with ourselves and say that our understanding of history and our understanding of science are very current notions. What we think is respectable, what we expect science to do, or what we expect history to tell us and how it's related to the events around us is exactly the way we think about it now. I mean, if you go back and read a newspaper from 1920 that is reporting on events of the day, your eyebrows will go up immediately.
Yeah.
You know, and you say, well, that's reporting. I mean, that sounds more like storytelling than reporting. And so that's only going back a century. I mean, can you imagine going back 2 millennia or 3 millennia and expecting that when they wrote what they maybe understood as history would match and meet our expectations today? I mean, it's not going to happen. Right. And it's not only that it isn't going to match, but our expectation that they wrote to match our 2017 expectations of history or science, not the expectations of the year 1060 or of 520 or of 1493. You know, why us at this time in history? And I just think we have to realize that science in the year 1000 BC wasn't what we think it is now. In fact, it wasn't even a subject. So to think that they were writing a document to explain something scientifically is just ridiculous. There weren't those expectations. They were trying to tell us something. There is truth being spoken there, but the information content, the reliability, the accuracy that we expect from both a historical or scientific perspective weren't even trying to be addressed. They had more important fish to fry.
So it seems like there's this space that doesn't get enough airtime to me these days, where science and God aren't opposites, that they aren't in competition, that they complement each other, and that when we engage with science and when we engage authentically with God, we find that we're gaining insight and information, and we have this openness and curiosity and even wonder.
Yeah.
And I think that's really leading us towards wisdom.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think that these things that we glean from God, they should be counterintuitive. That's what makes them special, but they should also make sense.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think people of faith try to claim that these things should be irrational, like it's supposed to not make sense.
Miraculous.
Right, if it's real and from God, then it has to be stupid. I don't know.
It's weird.
Yeah, no one would ever do it in their right mind.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So Ed, doesn't that sound like that's based on this understanding that God is only God of the unknown,
yeah.
stuff that is unknowable. It has to be surprising in the sense of, you know, no human being in the right mind would ever do this.
And
But it isn't like that. I think it's counterintuitive, meaning that it's coming from a deeper understanding of this world than we typically operate in as human beings. We're pretty short-term, short-sighted.
Maybe not very intuitive.
Yeah, not as intuitive.
It's a deeper intuition,
Right, it's a deeper intuition. And that making sense part says, but this resonates with what my deeper soul, my greater intellect, everything put together kind of does know about the world. And so it's counterintuitive, but it makes sense and it feels good to go there. Mm.
But, you know, you do hear about it in the Bible. It talks about the foolishness of the gospel. And isn't that an argument for irrationality? Right there. It's in the Bible. It says it.
1 Corinthians. It's there. You know, Paul talks about God's wisdom being foolishness to us. But
is that your excuse to sort of, like, turn off your brain, though? I mean, That's not how I read it.
It is a convenient way to get off the hook.
It's not the kind of foolishness he's talking about, right? I mean, he's talking about what is foolish in our minds. He's talking about this, like, counterintuitive, the stuff that's beyond us. Because when he talks about our foolishness, he says even God's foolishness is wiser than our wisdom, right? I mean, so he's taking us deeper than our wisdom. Basically, and I know this is a line that means a lot to you, Melissa, he's talking about the foolishness that is on the far side of our wisdom, right? Not on the near side, the dumb thing to do.
You have to go through it. You have to go through, I think.
Right. And so that foolishness isn't stupid behavior. It is behavior that is built on principles that transcend just our typical, everyday, short-term, short-sighted kind of thinking.
So it does call us to participate in, you know, plant yourself near the water, near the waters of wisdom, and try, and don't turn off your brain when you cross the street.
Be brave enough to try those things that your larger self is calling you to. You know, don't just go to college and get the major that's going to give you the most money, because that's the smart thing to do. That's the wise thing by human standards, but by God's standards, saying, you know, what is your life really all about? What do you need this? What's the purpose of your education? What do you want to do with yourself? And follow that path. I know it sounds stupid to the world, but that's wise in God's world.
So there's this challenge, it seems to me, to draw us deeper past our maybe temptation to just think short term and go for the superficial stuff. There's this challenge to participate more deeply with all of who we are.
using all the tools that we have available to us. We look at the world and we learn from math, we learn from scientific inquiry, we learn from intuition and art and contemplation and from prayer and from relationships. And we put all this information together and we test it all. We use them to complement and to test each other and to grow so that we are better participants with God. We will never understand it enough, and that's one of the things that we learn by using these tools is humility. Like, I will never know enough, but knowing more is better. And I can engage with God and God's callings to me in a deeper and a fuller way. And I can make mistakes and keep growing.
So it's so easy for us to get stuck in this yes, but kind of mentality that religion may tell us this, but science tells us this. And for us to keep cultivating a more open kind of posture to this, to say yes, and what is it that I can learn from that? What is it that I can take away and be curious about and let my wonder drive into something that really makes science and religion partners?
Yes, we can do this. And thanks for being part of this conversation. I think it's a good first step. Thanks, you guys. So listeners, please check out all of our podcasts. We are a community that is reinventing church here in South Minneapolis, but you can be part of this wherever you are. Check us out at Jacob's Well Minneapolis on Facebook to learn more, and thank you again.